Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome. Oh,
and
that's
then,
it.
How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, you love that one, huh?
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always falling in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it,
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
It is the Jim Bob Show game day edition, the draft show 2024 happening. Of course, we're here right in Draft Central in Detroit. And first round in the books. A lot of fanfare, a lot of pizzazz, and some pretty good picks.
Pizzazz, baby. I'm telling you what, man. We had some very decorated players get picked up yesterday. Some of them, their shadows have MVP, buddy.
The shadows got an agent.
I mean, the shadows got an agent. We'll come up with some funny accolades about, you know, he's got, like Meryl Streep of sports. You guys got more awards than roles. And so anyhow, but you know, that top 10 group was loaded though, man. Think about it. Yesterday we had 6 quarterbacks, 7 wide receivers, the most decorated tight end of all times with Blake Bowers. I tease about, you know, he's more decorated than a wedding cake. That dude is like, he's more decorated than a Christmas tree in July. I mean, he's got, I thought that some people messed up not picking him earlier. I thought the Raiders got something incredible with them, but we're going to go down through this, and go down this entire list and talk about this. And let's start with, our Bears right here in Chicago. Caleb Williams, what a special athlete he is. I mean, he creates stuff. His career was fantastic and so forth. He's got great velocity and he's got great touch throws. It seems like he's the one guy, you know, in the draft that you can't miss, but that the pressure of being number one overall, baby.
On a team that has had a lot of adversity, a team that just got rid of their, I mean, it is going to be full pressure, DEFCON 5 from minute one.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, there, you know, going into the draft, we look at, there were some weaknesses with him. You know, he's not your prototypical height, you know, as far as a quarterback. I mean, you look at some of these guys today. I mean, you know, they're 6'4", 6'5", and got cannons and so forth. But, you know, they talked about his footwork was a little inconsistent and, you know, he fades from the pocket, you know, versus stepping up and stepping in the throws. And so there were, you know, a lot of elements of weaknesses that they talked about him. Some people even thought, quite frankly, that maybe he shouldn't be number one. Maybe the fact that, hey, they said, hey, what about, are we serious? Should we not take that, you know, Jaden Daniels? I mean, there were thoughts about that.
But there's some great talent on the board. Caleb Williams was the consensus number one pick. And here's, look at this in personality wise, Jim Bob, especially now when these players, there's so much, whether it's social media or just media or just the ability to be exposed. When you look at Justin Fields' temperament and personality wise, he was a very quiet guy, head down worker guy. It took a lot to get him to come out and kind of chirp about whether there was the coaches or who was making the right decisions, right? Caleb Williams is a totally different guy. This is a guy that is very active on social media. If things go south, I see him, people lash out at him. I see him lashing back. I think it could be some fireworks if they don't get out to a good start.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought that the Bears pick was a A grade. I mean, there were some people out there, you know, that know a lot about football. I gave the Bears an A minus on him just simply because of some of the unknowns. I mean, A minus isn't bad. I mean, I would have took it in college. I don't know.
They didn't give up the draft to move up one pick that wasn't available to get an unknown Mitch Trubisky, right? There wasn't anything that made you go like, wait a minute, what happened? Right.
There's some, you know, like I said, is he a generational player? You know, and he might be. I mean, but there were some concerns. I mean, I like his game personally. You know, I like Jaden Daniels' game too a lot. I think Jaden Daniels was a special player too. So I think that, you know, the thing about Caleb Williams, you know, honestly, his 2023 campaign didn't go as expected. I mean, the Trojans were supposed to be a national contender last year and their quarterback becoming the second ever two-time Heisman winner. Instead, USC went 8-5.
Jeez.
You know, after starting the season at 6-0. I mean, that's where I think the doubting Thomases came in. And so, he was asked to carry a team, and USC finished 119th in total defense last year. That didn't help him, you know, so there was a lot of pressure on him. And the reality of it is that he didn't carry that team at 8-5. I wasn't impressed with that.
I watched the sizzle reel. There were some, you know, he does have the ability to drop some passes in there on the sidelines. He made some good throws. A lot of that though, you know, you look at the talent they have on a USC, you know, guys were wide open. It's not going to be like that in the NFL, and he's going to have pressure, not going to have that kind of time to survey the field, pick people, throw. I mean, it's all going to happen. Like you always say, you know, when you get to the league, the biggest thing is just the whole game is a lot faster, and hopefully he'll be able to step up.
Well, I mean, it does. It gets a lot faster. I mean, everybody is a badass in the NFL. I mean, I watch, you know, we watch a lot of film, and you watch some of these plays that get done. Well, okay, well, that guy that play just happened, he ain't going to play in the NFL. That other guy ain't going to play in the NFL. That other guy there ain't going to. He missed that tackle, missed that tackle. Those guys aren't going to play in the NFL. The guys that's going to play against every day, they're guys that are running, you know, the 4-2-1s, you know, the 4-3-3s. You know, everybody's fast. Everybody's strong. Everybody's big. So, you know, clearly, though, the number one pick, is he going to be the talent like an Andrew Luck was, being number one overall? We talked about number one overall picks, and we talk about the Andrew Luck and how good he was and how good his career was. So hopefully the Bears get lucky with that. They're placing Williams in a position to succeed. They got some weapons around him, man. I tell you what.
They're at least from a karmic standpoint, the Bears are due. They're the only NFL team that has not had a 4,000-yard passer. I think Eric Kramer still holds, you know, from the early 90s, still holds the record for most touchdowns in a season. Sid Luckman is your quarterback, as far as like,
yeah, right. Well, here, you know, you're on it. I hope that this pick breaks the cycle for the Bears. I really do. I really do. I like I said, I gave the Bears an A- on the pick, and only time will tell how this works out for us. I hope it works out great for the Chicago Bears. I mean, like I said, they're putting Williams in a position to succeed.
Yep.
I thought the USC did that last year. They went 8-5. So let's just see what happens. I mean, this is the NFL, baby. This is big time.
A lot of stars, a lot of quarterbacks in those first picks. Jim Bob picked two.
Hey, listen, the guy that a lot of people thought should have been the number one guy, Jaden Daniels, quarterback at LSU, goes to the Commanders. I think it's a great pick for the Commanders. I think that it's a great situation for him as a rookie. You know, you got new owner, coach, everybody can grow together. It's another, I gave the Commanders an A on this pick. I think it was a great pick.
And then, you know, there were teams though that needed a quarterback and were hoping that one of these kind of marquee quarterbacks was going to be available to them. It didn't work out for every single team. But so if you're in the like 3-6 range, you know, things can happen. And sometimes people will move up and move down. This went pretty straightforward, right, for the first few picks.
I think so. You know, the number three with the Patriots taking Drake May, he's going to be good for them. He's pretty exceptional in his pre-snap processing and so forth. And New England depends on how that staff works with him. You know, I think he's a good pick for them. I gave the Patriots, you know, they probably deserve an A. I gave them a B+ on the pick personally. You know, he comes from a very good athletic family. You know, he's a tall, lanky quarterback. Kind of reminds you a little bit of Tom Brady.
They hope.
You know, you can only be so lucky, you know. And Belichick's gone now, which, you know, personally, I think that's a good thing. I mean, and I'm a big Belichick fan, but when Brady departed, we saw some of the weaknesses in that foundation. You know, I mean, I think Tom Brady got the last word, in my opinion, on that. But anyhow, the Patriots take Drake May, and, you know, basically they're going to weaponize that offense with May behind it. We'll see what happens, because they certainly need an injection of something there to move the Patriots. You know, then we move on to number four. We look at the Cardinals and Marvin Harrison. And I mean,
this was a guy that everybody had looked at all year. Whoever gets him, lucky team.
Yeah. I mean, I did some guys that were rating him and gave it a B plus. I go, listen, here's an awesome combination of the guy's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the agility. He's got the route running, which is top notch. He's got great ball skills. He is an immediate red zone threat in the NFL. He's a deep threat. Great body control. There's no other grade to give these guys but an A. There's nothing that I can say about Marvin Harrison other than, you know, I will say the weak thing that I saw about him on some of the film, he could be more physical on press coverage, and he's going to – I could tell you the film I watched, I would – get super aggressive with him on press coverage. I didn't think that he handled it well enough as far as being physical on that. So that's the only thing. And guess what? You're going to see a lot of that in the NFL.
When you give, and there was a couple of them throughout the course of this early part of the draft, you know, sons of NFL greats. And so they get a pedigree and I'm sure some attention early and out of the gate on the talent evaluation side. And you look at this, Jim Bob, where do you put the program itself, not necessarily the team that they played on, or maybe their team is, but the program itself as far as preparing players. There's a little bit of vetting, a little bit of kind of a quality control level. If you're on Ohio State, you're probably doing a lot of the little 100%, things right.
You know, when we talked to Sean Payton, and he talked about that. I mean, we had Sean on the show, and we were talking about kids, you know, schools they wanted to draft from. They wanted, you know, hard-nosed football schools, and Ohio State's on that list. You know, Michigan's on that list. You know, they didn't like some of the kids coming out of some places. USC was on the list. They really didn't like kids coming out of because they didn't feel that it was hard-nosed enough, even though there's some great players. I mean, within this year's number one overalls from USC, but they felt that they got a little pampered and they didn't come in prepared for the NFL. I think Marvin Harris comes in prepared. The Arizona Cardinals made the smartest and the simplest move possible for them. They drafted the very best player in the entire draft as far as I was concerned. I thought Marvin Harris was probably the most complete guy. Certainly ready for the pros. He's going to be on the field, you know, snap one. So the Cardinals have, I think they've got 6 picks in this draft this year. So we'll see them make a move to improve from where they were last year. And I do like their head coach. So, and then we move on to, you know, number 5, Joe Alt of Notre Dame. I love him. My God, he's big. I mean, Jimmy Christmas, 6'7", 6'8". I think they lie about it. I mean, he's such a big dude. He, to me, was best in class. You know, so he's going to have to, you know, the question is, can he transition to right tackle? I mean, they're thinking about putting him there. I mean, you know, he played left tackle and you know, they might want to move him. I don't know how that's going to affect him, you know, or whether I haven't even studied that Chargers depth chart well enough to know is, but you know, you spend your number one draft choice and then you want to move position on him. Man, that's kind of tough. You know?
So you look at that for Jim Harbaugh getting in there for the Chargers, certainly in the draft room, you know, he's going to make some great decisions. This is a guy coming off of a national championship in the NFL, of course, longtime player, and as a coach, took a team to the Super Bowl. This is a guy who is successful wherever he goes. So you got to figure whether it's moving the tackle or figuring it out on the personnel side, he probably has a plan.
Yeah, I love Joe. I love Joe Alt, buddy. I tell you what, 6'9" is the one he comes in, weighs in at 321. Big guy. You know, in the NFL, bigger isn't always better. The knock on him was he might have played a little top heavy. I think he played, when I watched film on him, I thought he played at an exceptional pad level. And I thought that he performed so well in the run game. This was one of my favorite picks.
You've been talking about him.
I loved him. You know, he's great. He's 21. I just thought that he was the top of the class of this.
If you're in the ownership for the Chargers, you got to be thankful, right? Because this is setting up those foundational elements 10 years and you've got
10 to 12 years starting. This is how I look at it. 100%. You know, I like the fact because Saban was talking about it too yesterday. Same way I look at it. I look at positions and I look at like a Joe Alt. You know, he's a 10 to 12 year starter. He's a Joe Thomas type guy. You know, you get that in your anchors. Guess what? We don't have to worry about this. We take that position off the board for the next 10 to 12 years. I can't tell you how valuable that is and that becomes to a team. You know, everything's in place for Joe Ault to have a stellar career. I'm saying he's going to be an all pro. I just think he's got an excellent profile, and I'm very excited about his potential. And I know that the Chargers head coach, Jim Harbaugh, you know, how he wants to build a team. He starts in the trenches, man. I mean, he did it when he was at Stanford. He did it was in San Francisco and the Wolverines, you know, what they did last year. I mean, stellar trench building, and he's just go back to his basics.
And playing quarterback in the NFL, too, that's his background, knowing the importance of a good offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, number six, the Giants get Malik Nabers, LSU. A lot of people thought that his acceleration and his deep threat strengths and, you know, his balance and so forth to catch, you know, the off balance. And, you know, he beats man coverage every time. Got great strong hands, inside out versatility, put him in the slot, put him outside. They thought that this was a great pick. They thought that this guy is the cat who is the cat's meow. And again, you know, he comes in more decorated than a Christmas tree in July. I mean, so I thought the pick was great. I thought that I gave the Giants an A plus on this pick. I really love this one. There's nothing that I can say bad about him at all other than, can they get the quarterback situation straightened out there and allow this kid to be a playmaker? I mean, he is a superstar, in my opinion, a superstar that's in the making in the NFL.
He's going to make them a better team no matter what.
Well, we go to number seven, and the Titans, you know, they take J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle, out of Alabama. You know, vice-like grip, man, super strong hands. And everybody goes, what is they keep talking about, super strong hands? Have you watched an NFL game? There's holding on every play.
That's how he holds on to the jersey of the other team.
I mean, the knock, here's the deal. If you can call this a negative aspect of somebody, tends to be over-aggressive, it's the NFL, bro. I don't know what, I mean, if you're just writing about it and you haven't played, man, I tell you what, we love that aggressiveness. We love having the over-aggressiveness. I mean, I can tell you what, you can tame a lion down, but you can never take that lamb and make a lion out of him. I mean, I think this, you know, Latham is 6'6", 342 pounds. He is a people mover. His hands, Dane, are 11 and a half inches long, okay? He's got 35 and a half inch biceps. Jeez. I mean, he makes Arnold Schwarzenegger look like a punk.
Yeah, you don't want your bio to say relaxed and passive, right? Those aren't the descriptors you want in your NFL bio.
They may make him lose 20 pounds. I mean, that's the thing, is that...
Is that like breaking up with the MMA girlfriend? And, you text him from Poland about it?
Well, first of all...
Hey, how about 20 pounds?
He's sitting down to the training table mill, and you go, hey, not that. And he looks at you, and maybe you should have just texted
him. Let's start tomorrow.
You know, I don't know why people didn't like this deal. A lot of people thought that this was a B-, a C-plus grade, you know, and that I guess the fact of it is that... Latham's a, you know, he's a right tackle, and they thought that Tennessee needed a left tackle. But here's the deal. This kid's a violent player wherever he plays. It doesn't matter. They cross-train him at Alabama. Nick Saban, he comes from Alabama. This pick probably deserves the B-plus level. Anybody who gave him the C doesn't know what they're talking about, in my opinion. But then we move on to the surprise pick of the draft. The Atlanta Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback at Washington, after they spent $180 million on Kirk Cousins. You want to tell me? Explain it to me?
So, Jim, I've explained this to me. And, of course, people get their feelings get hurt, or they're like, well, geez, what does this mean in the big picture? You know, one thing, even for the NFL, not for long, you're not going to be there forever, and you have to plan ahead and all that, and you look at what the Packers do. Aaron Rodgers felt bad when Jordan Love was drafted. I think you got a plan for the future. Kirk Cousins, $180 million means you're going to get your time and you're going to get a chance to play. But he was shocked, stunned, I think was the words that they used.
The thing about it is that they looked at Cousins and probably thought this was a three-year deal. Okay, so the quarterback of the future, who has tools, I mean, every time I watched them, and I won a ton of money on Washington. I you know, my gosh, they came in. They had Oregon to beat them by 9 and had them favored. I loaded up on them. I mean, I paid some college education, you know, with just, you know, riding him and Washington. I think that he's very consistent, and he's clean in the pocket to me. He's got a repeatable throwing motion. He is a downfield assassin, but man, he had some talent with him too, though. He had some great wide receivers at Washington. But, you know, one of the knocks on him, he's got significant injury history. That's the big issue on him. I mean, he's had 2 ACLs, you know, so those injuries, the ACL on his right knee, he dislocated, his clavicular joint in his right arm, and he tore the ACL in his right knee again back in 20. And then, you know, he separated his shoulder. Here's the deal, though. I keep telling everybody, it's football. And this is what happens. I mean, people talk about, well, he's been injured a lot. Okay, guess what? It's somebody's job to protect them. Mm-hmm. All right, get them protected. So I love them. I think that people were a little bit hard on the grade. A lot of people just hated this and they were shocked by it. This guy comes in as a 24-year-old rookie with a lot of game day experience. Yep. And, you know, we talk about like Brock Purdy. You talk about Bo Nix. These guys, you know, they played college football for like seemingly 12 years. I mean, so Michael Penix, I think that it puts the Falcons in the driver's seat long term for the NFC South. I think Cousins, I love Kirk Cousins. I don't think this is a knock on him at all. He was probably surprised by the move a little bit, but I thought it was great. And let's move on to what I thought was another great pick by the Bears. I got to tell you, number 9, Rome Odunze, a wide receiver. And again, this was what I was talking about. You had Michael Penix throwing to Rome, who I just think he's got the size, big frame, man. I mean, you watch him and you look at him up there on the stage. You know, he's fluid. He's got great hands. He tracks the ball so well, and he snags the ball at the high point. I think his vertical jump, somebody was saying that he had a really good vertical jump, and I was trying to, I didn't see the stats on him, but somebody said that he had, you know, 38-inch vertical jump. That's impressive.
Wow.
You know, I mean, so.
And he's got someone to throw to him with Caleb Williams. I mean, it's a recipe for probable success.
I tell you, I love the pick. I thought, again, Bears, the group last night, that was a great call. I think he's fantastic. It was a smart pick for the Bears. They might have had some other needs. They'll pick him up later in the draft. This was a great pick, in my opinion. I thought that this guy's a star. You guys, I mean, man, talk about setting the plate for Caleb Williams now with everybody that he's gotten and all of the tools. It's going to be exciting football for Chicago.
Yep. And the defense has been playing well as well. And so, I mean, paper, you know, it looks good.
Well, hey, few teams are going to have the trio of receivers that the Bears have. I mean, you got DJ Moore, you got Keenan Allen, and now you bring on Rome Odunze, which is, I mean, just pure talent and ability. That might be the best receiving core in the NFL. I mean, I'm just saying right now, I think it's one of the top-notch receiving corps, or can be, in 2024.
So we're going to come back after this break. We'll pick out some of those key picks and moments within the rest of the first round. So keep it here. It's the Jim Bob Show, Game Day Edition.